man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Follow us on all social media platforms at Rock News Weekly for our quick one-minute weekly update videos. And please give the episode a five-star rating if you enjoy the episode. Now on to this week's episode. All right, it's time for our exclusive Aftershock 2023 interviews. Make sure you guys check the description to check out the timestamps of all the interviews. We have about 13 of them lined up for you. So enjoy. These are all the interviews from Aftershock 2023.
We are here. It is Aftershock. It is day one. And we just saw one of the best opening bands for day one that I've seen in Aftershock.
Oh, shit.
In quite some time. We've been doing Aftershock for 10 years. And you guys are one of the best ones I've seen on opening day. I gotta say that.
Wow.
I'm here with Pink Shift, guys.
That's huge.
Thanks so much. From Baltimore, Maryland.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Would you mind introducing yourselves and what you play in the band?
This is Myron. I play drums in the band Pink Shift.
And I'm Ashrita. I sing. I play guitar sometimes.
My name is Paul, and I play guitar.
Awesome. You guys were killer today. You were one of the first bands on the stage today kicking off. How does it feel to kind of be one of the first ones to usher in a four-day festival of this size, and you guys kind of like set the tone a little bit, being one of the first bands out there on the stage?
Today felt a little bit different for us just because we kind of flew in last night.
It's our first time
like flying into a show, and then
really?
You know, and it's kind of like usually for the other festivals that we played this year, we've been on tour, so it's like, you know, we have a rhythm of like playing shows. You have a rhythm.
We're like,
of like
in the van, we all pile out of the van. One of us throws up, and then we're like, okay, we have to play now.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, something like that. So this is kind of nice. I was like, damn, I feel rested.
I feel a little rested. It kind of felt a little unreal. So I was just like, yesterday I was home
on the East Coast,
like right. You know.
It is. And now you're here in California.
Yeah.
Tearing up the stage.
It's like still 90 degrees, but it's like dry heat.
Yeah, so you guys are used to the humidity, right?
Oh, it's
yeah,
humid.
I was looking at the weather and I saw that it was 90 and I was like, oh snap, that's gonna be kinda crazy. But the shade actually helps.
Not
unlike
too bad
on
the
East Coast.
You were in the shade over here.
I was in the shade the entire time.
You guys were melting, huh?
Yeah.
I was still sweating, but I was chilling.
You're the drummer, so you get the shade.
I do get the shade.
Oh yeah, when I picked up my pedal board to like after the set, I was like, oh, ouch.
Oh yeah, like yeah, in your hands,
hot,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it feels really cool. Like we feel really lucky to like be here, yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Like this is our first season doing festivals like ever.
Yeah. So yeah. Compared to other festivals that you played, how is Aftershock so far?
It's awesome.
Awesome. This is the closest we've been to like the stage, like in terms of our green room. So that was nice.
Oh, that's
yeah.
nice.
Before we have to like get someone to drive us there.
And a golf cart takes
yeah,
forever.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're just like on and then back off and then that's
it. It's like
it.
From one point in the street you can see everything. I'm like,
nice.
This is great.
Right on.
It feels really nice to have been invited to play with like, you know, bands of this caliber, bands of this heavier hard rock genre, you know,
right.
It's like really cool that like, you know,
yeah, those
whoever
are our
organizes listened to us and was just like, yeah, they'd fit in cool here, man.
What are some of the bands that you guys like you mentioned that are
oh
your
my,
heroes?
Avenged Sevenfold,
yeah.
Like since oh my god, like since middle school, like I had a phase of like wanting Sin's like guitar,
Sin's
like that Schecter.
Man.
So it was just like really, really crazy that, you know, we
low-key, it was kinda crazy seeing you like play the solo. And then, like, seeing, like, Avenged Sevenfold, like, guitar tech shit, like,
oh
right there.
Oh, my God.
Because I know that, like, it's, like I don't know, like, they're inspiring.
It's really cool. I mean, when we started getting some offers and stuff, you know, we got invited to Riot Fest, and we played
right.
some other really awesome festivals. But, like, I never thought that we'd be invited to play with, like, you know, heavier bands like Avenged Sevenfold. Like, you know, that kind of, like,
right.
that metal type genre stuff. So
it's a like, really cool world. Like, I feel like we played other festivals that were like more indie and like more pop punk. But
yeah,
then
you guys are like right in between. It's a pretty cool thing. Like you guys
yeah.
are treading that line of alternative and indie as well as the heavier rock and more in your face and high energy shows.
Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty
the
awesome.
The space is like so cool, I feel like.
Yeah, this is like, yeah. I feel like a similar space to Louder Than Life, which we played
right.
recently. The crew was the same too.
Yeah, Danny Wimmer Presents. Yeah, same one.
So that was really awesome. I just like the vibe. I grew up on like old rock, so I don't know. I'm just like, oh, like I like these songs. I like these bands. I know them. So yeah. It's like
Stone
cool.
Temple Pilots.
Stone Temple Pilots. Yeah. That's crazy. They were added last minute.
Last minute, Pantera dropped off, and so they were the Stone Temple Pilots were the replacement.
That's crazy, because I listened to Stone Temple Pilots in my car, in high school.
And now you're here sharing the same stage.
I know, their guitar tech.
That's crazy.
Shit is right there too. I see tape on the stage, and it says STP, and I'm like, oh shit.
So compared to when you guys play smaller venues, compared to festivals, do you guys alter your set list, crowd interaction, stage show? What's different from a festival show compared to an intimate crowd show?
It's funny because I think we were just talking about how we're starting to get the hang of the energy of a festival. In terms of logistical, the set list and everything, we were saying with our slots now, being earlier, we are tending to backload our set with the songs that we feel the crowd will get more into. Near the end of the set.
But right. I think because, they're all kind of bangers.
I do too.
First song that we played was our first single off the album.
So. Oh, cool.
But with songs that are extremely bangers, I feel like we want more people to, as they just casually walk in.
Yeah, let people filter in.
Yeah.
Then
they get to experience that.
Our big bangers at the end.
Yeah, the big bangers.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so you guys were saying you guys normally punk rock it in vans on tour, right? So this was totally different. You guys got to fly in for Aftershock. You weren't punk rocking it on the road. But you guys just had a major tour where you were just everywhere, right?
Oh, we're going
to
go back.
You went to Belgium. You went to the UK.
Yeah.
You already came to the West Coast.
Yes.
And now you're back on the West Coast.
Yes.
Yes.
This is our third time this year, I think.
Was this your biggest tour so far?
I mean, honestly, it's not been one tour. It's just been, tour after tour.
It's our longest touring year
For this year.
It's the longest we've ever toured. Yeah. I mean, we haven't really... This is the longest we've been off tour, actually. We've only been off tour for, a week. So, it's been nice. I was just oh, damn, it's crazy, being athletic again after sitting on my couch for, a week.
It really gets you in shape, huh?
Yeah. But we're going back out next week.
Yeah, so what's the plan for the end of this year and into 2024? Can you guys let us know any details?
We're releasing an EP next week?
Next Friday,
next
right?
Next Friday.
That's right.
Yeah, Friday, October 13th. Friday the 13th, we're releasing an EP.
Yep.
So that's going to be really sick. We're touring in support of that. It's mostly on the East Coast, but just a couple headline shows.
But you guys will be back.
Yeah.
We'll be back
out
here.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I love being out here on the West Coast. And I'm really glad that we were able to have one last show before the end of the year over here.
Yep.
So thank you, Aftershock, for that. That's cool.
Of course. Thank you guys for being out here, man. You guys really set the tone here on Thursday. And I know you guys got a lot more to do, so thank you for your time out here. It was good seeing you guys. Pink Shift, make sure you guys check them out. PinkShiftMD.com, guys. All their latest tracks, that new EP that she's talking about, Siraksha, as well as Love Me Forever. You guys can go to their website, PinkShiftMD.com. They got some pretty cool limited edition vinyl I saw on there.
Yes.
That's really nice, really snazzy, so make sure you guys pick that up. Pink Shift, thank you guys so much for joining
us.
Thanks so much.
All right. We are out here, part of day one here, one of the bands that my wife and I have been looking forward to, probably, I think, the number one draw for us this year, Incubus. And I'm lucky enough to have their amazing drummer, Jose Pasillas, here with us today. Jose, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Awesome. Man, awesome to be here.
We are really looking forward to your guys' set, I got to tell you.
Oh, right on.
You're one of our favorite bands. My wife is a huge fan. We've been fans since the Fungus Among Us days.
Wow.
I was talking about it with her. You guys are coming up on that 30-year mark for Fungus Among Us and that 1995 kind of beginning of the band. I wanted to ask about you and your start with the band and how that all came about.
Well, I met Brandon in fourth grade.
Wow.
We met Mike in sixth grade. Started our band in 10th grade. So me and Brandon went to elementary school together and then junior high with Mike. And then I met our old bass player, Alex, in 10th grade.
Yep.
And then me, Mike, and Alex were just kind of messing around, jamming a little bit, playing Metallica songs, covers, and Megadeth, and yeah, all the music that they were into. I was listening to a bunch of different other stuff, but I just was happy to play drums.
Sure.
And then that was the summer of 91, before we started 10th grade. And then in 10th grade, Brandon was like, you know, I heard you guys have been jamming. He's like, can I like come to rehearsal? Can I like, you know, sing for you guys? And we were like, yeah.
Why not?
And literally, he never sang a note in his life.
Really?
And from that point, we just started writing original music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you said, like, they were influenced by Metallica, Megadeth. What were you listening to at the time? And I got to say, like, what inspired you to start drumming?
I was listening to a bunch of stuff, but I grew up skateboarding and
nice.
Surfing, both Brandon and Mike also, but they were more into, like, the metal scene, and I was listening to, like, Black Flag, like Bad Religion, a lot of the stuff that I was seeing in skate videos.
Right.
But I also loved the Ramones, and I was always a fan of Led Zeppelin, of course.
Sure.
And so, you know, before that, listening to a lot of the music my parents listened to, like Prince was one of them.
Yeah.
And so, like, I always heard the drums, listening to music, even when I was a little kid. And really, I really noticed that was sticking out more and more, like 13, 14. And then the summer of, I think it was ninth grade, Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses moved next door to us.
Oh, no kidding.
And this was right, it was more in junior high, because this is when Appetite first came out.
Right.
And so Steven moved next door, built a studio next where the garage is, and I remember listening to it, and the whole neighborhood was livid because it was like 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And he was ripping. And I would be sitting up listening to it going, this is amazing.
How cool.
So it was funny. He went away on tour for Appetite for that whole year, was gone, and I started playing drums. So I was like right around 14. And so, like, from that point on, I just really got into it, and it just, like, started our band the next year. And
did you ever go in his recording studio next door?
I would walk over there before I started playing. I'd walk over, and Steven was always in his studio, and I'd be like, hey, man, can I sit behind your kit? And he had this huge, beautiful, like, it was like a DW kit. It was all, like, a beautiful white pearl.
Wow.
Double kick, just, like, this incredible-looking thing. And I would just sit there for like 10 minutes. And then,
I would leave. Yeah.
And then I would leave and, you know, take some like broken sticks.
Not play
sticks.
Anything?
No, I didn't even, you know, yeah. I wasn't, this was even before I was really even playing. So pretty crazy.
That's
yeah.
awesome, man.
Yeah.
What a beginning.
Yeah, it
so
really was.
In the beginning of Incubus, we're talking about that too as well. Do you guys, I don't know if you can even mention that, but are you guys planning on maybe doing something? Are you starting to think about celebrating some of those original albums that came out 1995, some of your debuts? Do you guys go back and kind of go through the archives and like say, hey, that's a song we forgot about, or hey, maybe bring that into the live mix or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough. I mean, we have so many records, so many songs.
I know.
It's really hard to get them in there, but we try to touch base with each record that we do. Fungus Among Us, not so much. We don't really touch any of that.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know.
What, the first
when you,
album.
When you're looking at what you wore, like, in fifth grade, you're like, fuck, I will never wear that again.
Right.
It's kind of like that.
But, like
you
that.
Know, it was, you know, I'm not, I would never say I'm ashamed of anything we've done because it was a process.
Sure.
But, you know, to play him is little funny and ridiculous,
right.
But whatever.
I hear you.
But we're doing tomorrow. We're gonna do. Speaking of that, we're gonna do Make Your Morning View from beginning to end.
That's
as,
right.
You know,
that's
yeah.
gonna be one of the last shows you do this year, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And so, how was that? Like, was that an idea that you guys all kind of came up with? Like, man, that's a solid album. We got to do that front to back.
Well,
there's tracks on there we never played.
Yeah, I mean, we were planning on doing that on the 20th anniversary.
Right.
But COVID. During COVID, so we ended up doing a live stream from the Morning View house where
That's
we recorded
right.
it.
I remember that.
So we did it from front to back, and we've been meaning to do it for a long time. We just, you know, we just hadn't, and we're like, let's make the Bowl like an extra special show.
Nice. Yeah.
So we're gonna do it, you know, there tomorrow.
What about plans for 2024? Can you let us know anything? I mean, it's been a minute since your last album came out. What was it, 2017?
Yeah. We're definitely going to write music and have something hopefully in the pipe for next year. That's the plan. And then we'll be touring again spring on.
Nice.
So that's the plan. You know.
Yeah, sure.
Whether we can pull it off or not, we'll see. But that is the plan.
Now, in terms of writing new music, how involved are you in that process? What's the process like? Does Brandon come up with lyrics and you guys come up with songs afterwards? Or is it vice versa? You guys come up with the music first and bring it to him?
You know, it happens in a myriad of different ways. But usually, Mike will have like a couple of guitar parts, like maybe a verse and a chorus, like just like an A-B part.
Sure.
And then usually, if he's got like a few of those, they'll get Brandon and him will get together and Brandon.
Yep. Anything he says is true.
Thank you, Chris. We'll kind of see if they gel. And if Brandon's got like some ideas melodically, then we get together and everyone just throws their stuff on and it's just kind of like a melting pot of ideas.
Awesome.
Know? Yeah.
That's cool. So as far as set lists go for festivals, what's your guys' process? Like you were saying, you have so many albums, so many different types of moods. You guys kind of run the gamut when you are building a set list for a festival crowd. What do you try and include in that?
You know, it's tough, again. We've been touring all year, so we've got like our big like hour and 45 minute set, and we usually just keep the bones of that and then just kind of cut out
the
excess fat, which is hard because that kind of rounds it out, that excess fat. So I don't know, there's a lot of bangers in there, and you know, we put a little mash in there and see what happens.
We're looking forward to it. We won't keep you too much longer. You got to get to ready. Everybody head over to IncubusHQ.com, get all their music, merch, tour updates. Thank you so much, Jose. Really appreciate this time, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Day one, Aftershock, Captain's Log. It's Thursday. What a day it's been. And what a set we saw earlier today. Probably one of my favorite sets from a band I have never seen live. And it kind of blew me away. I've seen some of your videos. I'm out here with Starbenders, guys. And I gotta tell you, if you get a chance to see them live, you gotta do it. They're from Atlanta, Georgia, and they're here at Aftershock. And man, I gotta say, they're one of my favorite bands that I didn't know a thing about live. Now, we've been playing you guys on the radio. We love your stuff, but it's something different live with you guys. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact I've read that you guys kind of like to keep it old school when you record your music. And maybe that comes across in your live show that it almost sounds just as badass as the finished product live. Like, you guys do what you do on the studio recordings live, I feel. Is that a conscious effort?
Yeah, I think that's one of our most favorite parts of playing live, is just surprising people and being able to bring something to them that they don't really see coming. And we keep our production pretty minimal, both in the studio and on stage. And so, you know, we don't play with any tracks or anything. It's just what you see is what you get.
I love that.
So it's like what we get off the audience too is also what contributes to it, which is really fun for us.
Definitely that back and forth energy, right?
Yeah. And so that way it can be fully live. It's fully live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the album we're talking about, Take Back the Night. So tell us a little bit about that, kind of the inspiration, title, where those songs kind of came from. I mean, it feels like you're wearing your influences on your sleeve, maybe, with some of the stuff that you guys know and love. But it sounds truly original. I got to say, like, as a PD at a rock station, we get a lot of generic BS. And your guys' stuff really cuts through. And it comes across as ear catching. So it's just exciting to be able to have that refreshness in the airwaves. And I just wanted to say thank you for that and keep it up, because it's awesome.
Thank you. That means a lot.
You know, like the last few years when touring wasn't really, you know, like no bands were touring.
Yep.
You know, it was hard for everyone. And we had just put an album, our last album, Love Potions, came out right before the pandemic happened.
Yep.
And all that stuff. So we kind of got you know, we had a hard time like trying to promote that album during that time. So when our next album cycle came around, we had a lot of, you know, kind of, there was a lot of anger and just frustration with that whole period as a band. And we basically held, like, we holed up in a basement and like spent the first half of last year writing and recording the record. And all of that, you know, all of that, like, you know, it came like a really cathartic album for us. We were just putting all of that anger and, you know, and frustration into that, into the new music. And, you know, it just came out like with more teeth. Like our last album was a little bit, had poppier elements, but we decided, you know, what came out on this latest record was just a lot more rock, of the rock energy.
That's really cool. And it's kind of, I don't know, the opposite is sometimes of what I hear about people who get sidetracked by the pandemic and all that stuff that happened. It's almost like they turned into a more polished studio album. They start using other elements, electronic things, different stuff like that, and kind of deviate from that raw sound. Mm-hmm. And you guys almost went the opposite way.
Yeah, definitely. I think we almost captured the live show energy a little bit better on this album.
I think so.
And so I think the album name Take Back the Night came from like kind of as an ode to like taking back, you know, the... taking back, you know, what was ours, which is playing live shows, which, you know, it almost felt like it was taken away from
us.
So.
Well, that really came across. Seeing it live and hearing it first and then seeing it live, it made the connection there. So for me as well, that was really cool. So Aftershock Festival, you guys have been playing lots of festivals, I would imagine, these days. What's different about Aftershock, good and bad, that you guys like so far?
It was a lot hotter today than I thought it was going to be. This jacket was a poor choice of attire.
It's like melting, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a rough one. But honestly, like, the crowd energy was something else. That is not something we had on the last festival. So
right on.
I really did appreciate the people here, 100%.
Well, I hope our radio airplay helped prime the pump, so to speak, for the crowd reaction.
I saw some singing along in the crowd, so I think you guys did prime them.
Right on. Okay, well, that's great. So any plans for 2024 you guys can let us in on? More touring? More new music? What do you got in store?
Yeah, we're about to go to the UK in a couple days.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think we start the journey tomorrow.
Nice.
We'll be there for 2 weeks, which is
awesome.
Is that
your first time doing UK?
Second, but this is our first time as a headliner.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Nice.
So we're really looking forward to it. We get to be there for 2 weeks, so it's going to be more concentrated. Last time we were in and out. So this is a nice opportunity for us to explore a little deeper.
Killer.
So we're really excited about that. And then when we come back in November, we're going to be touring with Des Rocks, which we're really looking forward to.
They're killer.
Yes. So we're just going to be out there rocking and rolling, you know.
Right on. Yeah. Keeping on. Well, thank you guys so much. You got a busy schedule. You killed it today. Thank you guys for blessing us out here at Aftershock. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We love you. Thank you.
Captain's Log. Thursday. Aftershock. What a day it's been. A couple highlights throughout the day, including some bands I've never been able to see before, because they're from across the pond, as they say. Nothing But Thieves finally made their debut here at Aftershock Festival 2023. And I have Connor here, the lead vocalist from Nothing But Thieves, joining us today. Connor, thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you for having me. I love the intro. It's great.
You like that? I try and...
I'm across the pond.
Yeah. From Southend-on-Sea,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's where we're from.
In Essex.
Yeah.
So is this your first like big major U.S. tour, or you guys been here a couple times before?
We've technically been coming here for about 9 years. When we first came here, we came to... Our managers are from here, so we've been coming over stateside for a long time, you know, meeting with record labels and playing like pizza shop acoustic shows, you know, real
doing
like
the small stuff,
real like getting a feel for what the whole thing is, the whole industry. It started here for us.
Yep.
We went to New York and LA and Nashville and just met a bunch of people, and we were like, God, we were kids, we were like 19.
How old?
Like 19.
Yeah.
And then we started touring here. I would say our first proper tours here were support tours when we were, God, like, I would say, 21, 22. So we've been touring since then. So not about 8-9 years.
And now you're up to the festival level. You're playing the big shows like this. What's it been like playing a festival like this out here on the West Coast here in California?
No, it's good. We've been playing festivals for a few years now. And I think every single time we played a festival here, it's a little bit more daunting because we don't know if anyone is going to enjoy the music.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I kind of, I put a different hat on, really. I don't, it's not like my show where I feel more commanding or more relaxed and confident. When I'm on stage at the festivals, it's like, all right, what can I do to like win these people over?
And yeah, so what do you do? What's the mentality there?
Well, I mean, firstly, I sing as well as I can. That's the main focus. It's like, rather than entertain it, it's like, I'm just going to sing my ass off.
Sure.
And then just, you know, the slight British charm, you know, just being lovely and polite. No,
right. No, you're going to win
I like the challenge of winning people over that don't know us or have they been dragged over and stuff. I think it's great. And I feel like today went so well.
Yeah.
We've had a couple festivals on this run, and I really enjoyed it. It felt like I had the crowd with me.
I cool. feel like the Aftershock crowd, I heard that from Starbenders and some of the other groups that I've been talking about, that the crowd reaction out here today has been really great to some of these bands that felt like they didn't know how it was going to be.
Yeah.
And you were pleasantly surprised.
100%. It went really, really well. And I felt really good coming off stage. Felt like we had a great show and felt like we won some people over, which is nice.
Well, you guys have a couple more California dates. You got one in Arizona, and then you're off to the UK for a bunch of dates. You kick off a Halloween show, I think, right? At the O2 Academy in Glasgow?
In Glasgow, yeah. I mean,
that sounds cool.
In England, we don't really do Halloween as heavy as you guys. I love it. It's good fun. When we come out here, we played in Florida last time it was Halloween, and that was a good laugh for us. But that was wild. But no, it's not such a big thing in the UK, so I don't know if there'll be people dressing up, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
But yeah, UK run is going to be amazing.
And then through the end of this year, and then you're off to Belgium, Thailand, Germany, Italy, Spain, more through the early half of 2024.
Yeah.
Has this been your biggest tour here in the States to date? I know you said you've been here plenty of times, but in terms of the length and the
So it was a bit different for us. Because of the pandemic, we had 6 years off, and we had to take some time. I had to get some surgery done, so we actually had to cancel a tour we were going to do. And it was just before the pandemic hit anyway, so we were going to have to cancel it anyway. But yeah, we've been away for 6 years, so I think the venues we played in the UK, we stuck to the same size that we were before we left.
Yep.
And I think next time we come around, we're like, well, our team is saying like the demand's way more, so we're going to put on the bigger shows, which will be really fun. So we're going to come back, I think, sometime, like hopefully as soon as we can, you know.
So what was that process kind of like dealing with, you know, like you said, you weren't touring, it wasn't, you know, everything as usual. Did you guys have to find a way to record? Were you guys on lockdown? Were you able to record together? Were you still able to rehearse? How did it all go for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time on our own writing ideas, getting that together. And then when restrictions lifted, we all had individually so many ideas that we could all meet in a group for work. That was restrictions in the UK. So we'd meet up once or twice a week, just hash out some ideas, because we had nothing else to do. We weren't allowed to tour for another, year and a half. We'd released a record during the pandemic, Moral Panic, and we couldn't tour it. So
what a bummer, right?
I know, so it's kind of crazy. So we had like 8 months of a record release before we could play a show. But when we played in the show in the UK, one of our first shows was the O2 Arena in London.
Oh, wow.
So that was crazy.
Not too shabby.
It was crazy coming back and the first show being something
that
dramatic.
I'm sure people were waiting so long, right? They had the album that was marinating. Exactly. They were learning the songs, and then they get to see a lot.
And we spent that time writing whilst the album was kind of doing its thing in you know, streaming world and radio, because we couldn't tour it. And we had a kind of EP follow-up straight away because we had so much material, and then we had the starts of the next record, which we just released.
Right.
So it was like, you know, it was productive in terms of the pandemic.
That's awesome.
For us.
So in touring the US, I always like to ask some of the other bands, any crazy stories from the road, any funny things that you guys have eaten over here, anything that stood out in your mind that's funny, unusual.
Yeah, I think
that we would get a kick out of.
I think to me it's crazy when you go into an American diner and they have, you know, you have your pancake stack, but the options will be like a chicken fried chicken on the pancake with a blueberry sauce and like bacon. And then, you know, I'm like, are you just trying to hit every single palate in your mouth?
Right.
Like, what the fuck is that? And it just makes me laugh.
Blueberry chicken syrup.
You know, the best lead singer in the world.
He is.
The
I'd have to agree with you.
The best vocal range I've ever seen. I mean that. I love you.
What a compliment.
These are our boys we're touring with. Kick Capici.
Right.
Yeah.
They're up next. We're going to get them next.
Hi, everyone.
I find sometimes the food, I'm just like, who has thought of that? I saw like it was like a deep fried peanut butter burger the other day. I was like, what the fuck is that? See, I love that.
That's great. That's hilarious. All right. So how has it been touring with these guys?
Honestly, they're family to us. We love them so much.
Are you guys friends outside of... Yeah.
We've been friends with them for years. Dom, in our band, produces their record as well. They toured with us in the EU, and we're going to tour with them in the UK. Nice. And I'm sure we'll do more and more, because we just love hanging out with them. And we're just... They're just good fun. Good, like,
right on.
We have good parties, chemistry. But like good people as well, like really kind.
Yeah. Right on. All right, so 2024. Yeah. What do you guys got in store for everybody out there?
Well, so we have some more touring. Obviously,
right.
The EU,
big EU
tour.
Dates.
There'll be all the summer festivals again. We're just looking at dates where we can go around like this side of the planet again.
Yes.
We're just figuring it out now. So we'll, you know, get back to that as soon as we can. Probably we'll kick back to writing again at some point next year after we've taken some time off it.
Sure.
It's healthy to, I think it's really healthy to have a break from writing so you can change who you are a little bit.
I was going to ask you.
So you can change a bit. And you can change your opinions on what you write.
Perspectives,
and like,
whatever.
Massively. So we'll do that at some point next year. But yeah, no, it's just going to be, we're finishing off the Dead Club City tours, so in the start of next year.
It's a killer album.
Thanks, man.
We've been playing it on 105.7 The Bear, and I got to say, it really cuts through. There's
Thanks,
a lot
dude.
Of generic mainstream rock out there,
wow.
and you guys are tapping into something really unique and different.
Thank you so much, man.
It really connects, I think, with the listeners and cuts through. So keep it up. We're looking forward to more new stuff.
Thank you so much, mate.
Thank you
nice
so
to
much,
meet you.
Connor from Nothing But Thieves. Cheers, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, guys. It's Thursday. It's been an eventful day today, and I've seen a lot of bands that I've never seen before. And just like my previous interview with Nothing But Thieves, this was a real treat to catch these gems from the UK, from Hastings.
Thank you, man.
Yes.
From Hastings. Kid Capici here with us. Who do we have with us here from Kid Capici?
You got Eddie on bass.
And Jack Wilson, lead vocals, and a bit of guitar every now and then.
And a snazzy cowboy hat.
Smooth
snazzy cowboy hat, which I bought in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
By the way, and Dallas backwards is salad.
It is.
Just in case you didn't
know.
Yes.
And if you don't.
How has this tour been? Speaking of Dallas, speaking of the US, how has this
been
for you guys?
It's been a ride, man. It's more than we expected. We've had an amazing reception every night. I can't thank the Thieves enough for bringing us out here.
Yeah.
We've had a really good time, man. We've done all the tourist stuff that you can imagine. We've done the Niagara Falls boat ride.
Wow.
Philly cheesesteaks.
We've done Philly cheesesteaks. We've done New York. We've done it all, man.
What was the highlight? I mean, well, those all sound like awesome highlights.
Viva Las Vegas! Yeah, that was a highlight.
Name a better city in the world than
Seriously,
that.
Seriously, unreal.
We're still recovering from that now. Like.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. That's awesome.
It was unreal. Really cool place.
Okay, so I asked Connor what his weirdest thing that he ate on the road was. And he didn't eat it, but he saw it on the menu. He said it was a deep-fried peanut butter burger.
Ooh.
And I got to ask, what's the weirdest thing you guys have seen or eaten?
I had a deep-fried jalapeno dog that had ham and cheese in it, and it was fucking horrible.
I had a deep-fried bologna sandwich.
Oh, my God.
In Cleveland. It was amazing.
We had a lasagna last night that came out. Like,
it was called the Wow Lasagna.
Okay.
I ate so much of it, like, I threw up after.
He threw up. We went to Baskin Robbins.
Yeah.
And he threw up.
Baskin Robbins.
He went, I'm in a bad way, man.
Everyone thought I was joking. I was like,
drama queen.
Man, that's killer. It sounds like you guys are living the tour life right now.
That's how we do, man. We come out here, we gain 50 pounds, we
Why
fuck
don't
our liver
you come
up.
On over calories.
Okay, I want to talk about this. I thought this was a cool story. I heard you got your big break from musician Frank Carter.
Yeah.
Is this true?
Big
that you
up
played
Frank.
His birthday?
Yeah.
That was our first thing. So basically no one knows who we are in America. Well, they
and
didn't.
Then you played Frank Carter's birthday.
Yeah. So we our first song came out called 2019 in the year, believe it or not, 2019.
Topical.
Topical. And Frank heard it. He just happened to be on the show the day we got played.
Oh, cool.
And he loved it, and he took us on tour with him. And that was kind of like really the beginning of everything. So we owe so much to Frank, and we have such a like deep love for him.
His birthday was in this tiny little club in London called Blondie's.
Blondie's.
Super cool club. You could fit 50 people in there pushing your luck.
Wow.
It was a floor show.
No
we
kidding.
Rolled up, and we had it out, and then we all partied with him till like the next... It was amazing, man.
Wow.
Are you allowed to swear on this show?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's killer, man.
Yeah, so it's all true. It's all true, and Frank really helped us.
So how's this tour been with Nothing But Thieves? I heard that those are like some of your good friends outside of music.
Yeah.
Not so just touring mates.
Well, we basically... So we're on our third album's about to come out, but our second album we recorded with Dom, who's a guitarist and a genius. by the way. So we did our second album with Dom, became really good friends with them. We did a European tour.
Right.
Did this American tour, and we're about to embark on an arena tour.
We got Wembley when we get home.
So what's coming up?
Wembley. Wembley in England, which is like one of the most iconic venues. Yeah. So we're doing a UK tour with them. So yeah, it was just one of those lucky moments where we just clicked.
Has this been your biggest touring year so far, 2023?
Yeah, I would say so. Like we've done like a lot of...
We did a big headline tour at the start of the year. It was amazing. But this is our first ever time in America. And to be playing venues that like pretty much match what we headline in the UK is crazy for us. Because like, and thank you to the fans for coming out and being there when we walk on.
Yeah.
In the UK, like... No one watches the support band,
no one cares. We
feel privileged, man.
Honestly, so what we do in the UK, like at our best, we're now doing every night in America with Thieves.
That's killer.
Yeah,
we're lucky.
We are lucky.
Yeah, we've had a really good time.
You make your own luck, as Alex Turner
says.
That's right. We're happy. We're very happy.
All right, so California, do you guys get any downtime here? What's your favorite part of California?
We've just
so
landed today.
Okay.
Do you have any time? No.
Are you out of here, like, tomorrow?
Straight off to San Diego tomorrow.
San Diego.
There's a zoo there.
Whale's vagina.
A big zoo, I guess.
Pretty sure it's St. Diego.
Yeah, this is our first time in California. We woke up like we fell asleep in Las Vegas.
And then now you're in California.
Now I'm in California.
You say we fell asleep.
I didn't sleep.
We tried.
But I'm here. I'm living my dream. And California's everything I wanted it to be so far.
The sun is beautiful.
It is, yes. It's a little hot. It's hotter than usual for
really?
October.
Okay.
If the weather was like this in the UK, we'd get a weather warning.
If the weather was like this in the UK, we'd all be dead.
Okay, you said you have a new album on the way? New music?
We do have a new album on the way.
When does this come out?
When does this interview come out?
Soon?
Yeah, cool.
Like next
no
week?
Album.
Okay, yeah, we got a new album on the way.
We definitely don't have
Sometime
a new album coming.
Sometime it's a theory at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, we got a new album on the way. The best thing we've ever done by far.
It's dang.
And I've played it to my mum, and she thinks it's great.
Wow. Well, see, you heard it here first.
Yeah. And my mum's out in John.
All right, guys. What has been your favorite part of Aftershock so far?
Well, we did the Sister Festival, didn't we? Louder Than Life.
How was that?
It was
we had a good time,
but you know
this
what? The
better?
People at Aftershock, like, we got the circle pit going, man. We had everyone was chilling in the shade, but having a good time. Aftershock's where it's at.
Aftershock's been nice. Maybe it's just I really enjoyed Kentucky.
Yeah, it was a nice
place,
but the
really
crowd,
nice.
The crowd.
We just had a better crowd here today.
I've been hearing that from all the bands I've interviewed today.
Maybe
that the crowd's been top notch.
Yeah, the crowd have been amazing here.
And
so
for a Thursday, kicking off the festival too.
Exactly.
Yeah, we keep forgetting.
Like
it's
again,
the first day.
We're very aware that like no one knows who we are. We're used to Europe and England. First time over here, and we had a big old crowd.
Say that.
Amazing.
I saw people singing the words, and I was tripping. I was like, "Is this happening out here?"
We
like,
do
like,
play
no,
you guys
tripping.
On the radio,
Thank
so
you,
maybe it marinated a little bit with them, and they. Finally got
you
a chance
rubbed to that lemon and herb
yeah, we're soaking in that juice for a few hours before
no, it was good out. It was really nice.
That's very cool. Make sure you guys check them out, kidcapici.com. Check out their latest tracks, their merch, their tour dates.
Appreciate
all that
you,
good stuff. Thank you guys so
thank
much
thank you so much
out.
Brother
really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And watching anything with SA is fucking hilarious.
Okay,
if you don't
tell
know
me more about that, please.
So SA is very passionate and he gives a shit about football. So when anything happens whatsoever, you know, any kind of consequential movement, it's the biggest fucking
the
deal
biggest
in the world.
Deal.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's super fun.
What's his team?
I mean, Cornhuskers. You know.
Oh, so he likes the college stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And we were just watching Oklahoma and Austin play, and it was a great game.
Right.
So it's fun to watch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's get to Aftershock.
There's a good start.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, no, I love those little tidbits, though, man. Right on. So, okay, we're here with 311, we're here with Peanut, and I wanted to talk about, you guys are celebrating the 30th anniversary of your debut album.
Yes.
How is it to go back in kind of the archives and be like, what about that song? Maybe we bring that out live. How has it been to kind of go through that process on that first album?
I mean, those songs were the songs that we played every night, you know, when we were first starting out, when we only had 13, 14 fucking songs, so... We play them still a lot, so it really hasn't been that much of a retrospective for us to really go back and play those tracks. Because I mean, there's a few that we don't really get to. It's fucking Tim Mahoney right there, fucking A,
liar.
Woo,
a liar.
And so yeah, it's been great. Like just to I don't know, it feels like people are listening to it more.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
But on stage, we've always played
kind
a lot of that.
Kind of shining a light on it, highlighting it a little bit
for sure.
More. Right on. So that's awesome, man. I really can't wait for that deluxe release.
But it's a trip to think about it being 30 years old. You know, every night on stage, Nick will mention it as much. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, where did it go?
I know, right? Well, there was a crazy story I heard. I don't know if this is true. On your first major tour in 1993, I heard a story that apparently you guys borrowed an RV from Chad's dad, and you were touring or towing a Volkswagen bus, and it caught fire, something along those lines.
Yep, right after we had fueled up, too.
What happened?
There was like a engine failure, like there was a leak in the engine and the gas caught on fire.
And you guys like gas barely cars escaped out of there,
gas
right?
Gas cars are dangerous. Have you heard about that? Have you heard about those internal combustion engines?
I have.
Fucking scary, man.
They're pretty crazy,
it's like
right?
1,000 explosions per second. I can't believe people trust that shit. But yeah, that's what happened. We were towing something that wasn't meant to be towed, something really heavy in an old school Volkswagen van. It was Tim's van, and it burnt down to the fucking chrome. You know, there's nothing left, along with, you know, our gear. So it was like a $40,000 hit.
And that's like the first major tour.
Yeah, when we couldn't afford a $400 hit. It was the chicken and light beer only days, and it was really, really a tough one. But we borrowed gear, played a show 2 days later, and we've never
amazing,
stopped.
Man.
It was our do or die moment. It was our trial by fire moment.
Literally.
Nick barely made it out of there. He was the last one out of the RV, and he had long hair at the time, and he's never grown his hair out since then.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
And he lost his eyebrows in the midst too.
Wow, that's
he should bring
wild,
back that
man.
Look. That's a good look.
All right, so you guys have been doing a lot of other stuff lately. I noticed that you're kind of branching out the 311 brand to other things. You got your Come Original India Pale Ale with El Segundo Brewing. How did that come about? And I got to ask, are you guys all on the same wavelength in terms of types of beer? Were you guys, was this an argument between the band? Like, I want a pale ale. No, I want an India pale ale.
I wish there was an argument about it. I'm the only one that's really in the conversation. SA and Chad are in the conversation as well, but Tim and Nick, I think, have had enough in their past lives.
Right.
So we, you know, we talk about it amongst ourselves a little bit, but mostly it's on me. So when it came down to it, it was like, oh, yeah, we're making an IPA. That's we're making a 7.0 IPA.
Yeah.
And I wanted to call it something else, but whatever. Come Original is a good name. But it's not really an original thing to come up with an IPA right now. So whatever.
That's true.
But it's a damn good beer. It came out. It was really fortuitous. We had made beer with a group in Florida called Rock Brothers for years before. And they were awesome. But the relationship wasn't meant to last forever. So when that soured and we were free market again looking for a beer company, we called up El Segundo. And they had a tank just waiting for us.
Oh, wow.
So it was perfect timing.
Perfect.
And, you know, sitting down with brewers and tasting what they think is good and just their variety is amazing. Those are my favorite meetings ever.
All right. So your last album came out in 2019, Voyager. It's a killer album.
Thank you.
But we want some more new music.
Yeah,
it's 2024 coming up, about a 5-year mark. What do you guys think?
We've got 10 new songs right now, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's coming soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be next year.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Well, make sure you guys head over to 311.com for all their latest updates. Stay up to date and check out that 30th anniversary of their major debut, Music. I can't wait to check that out myself as well. Peanut, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Good talking with you.
All right. We are out here on Saturday at Aftershock with one of my personal highlights. This is going to be a big show and a really cool experience. Brendan here from Death Clock. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Dude, I got a couple big questions. Okay, so Death Album 4, first in 10 years.
Yeah.
I heard there was some legal stuff that kind of maybe got in the way with the release of this album, with the rights to the name, with Adult Swim and stuff like that, that you kind of maybe, you've been putting out some of your solo stuff in different releases under your own.
Well, this show, I'll answer everything. The show stopped being a show. It didn't really get canceled. It got kind of like a slow breaking up with that none of us really understood. Because we didn't get like, hey, we're done working with you.
Okay.
They were like, yeah, maybe we'll do some stuff and we'll keep on doing some stuff. And then it kind of didn't happen. So so there was a time where like I never owned it. This is what happens. When you work with a network and you pitch a show, they put up the money and you kind of
Right.
They have the idea, you know. So
but they own it.
Yeah, they do, because they put up the money, right? And that's how it all, well. You get a few $1 million to make a TV show, and it won't be a problem. But that's how show business works.
It's not,
and this isn't unique to me. This is everybody's show, and I still have, you know, a certain amount of equity in it. But it's something that you have to get everybody on the same page. And at some point, I started getting phone calls from the network, and they said, "Hey, we'd like to do some more Death Clock stuff." Are you interested? And I said yes, because I'd really like to kind of complete this this story. And so that was about maybe 4 years ago where I got these phone calls, and then 3 years ago we started working on this movie, Army of the Doomstar, this soundtrack and Death Album 4. So there are three things that got dropped at the same time, plus a tour, so four. and so it's a lot of work, and this for me is like my first time leaving the office, this whole tour. And so it's nice, and it's like a vacation for me. I'd do anything to not go back in the office. So it's really nice to be able to play with this great group of people, from Gene Hoagland to Neely Brosh to
you have a killer touring band.
Yeah, they're really great, and this great crew. And so everyone's morale is very high. Touring with Baby Metal has been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
They are not messing around. They're there to throw down every night. Their band is amazing. The girls are amazing. They're so charming. I think they're so great. And then Jason Richardson, who's just a fantastic guitar player.
Amazing.
Yeah, so it's been a really good tour. And so this record was like, we knew it was going to come out. There were no legal complications. We had already settled everything long before that, years before it. So this is Death Album 4. It's out. Movie's out. Now we're touring.
It's killer. It's amazing. And so this is my first time personally going to be able to see you live.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So I wanted to ask, in the beginning when you were trying to think of this, I heard rumors that maybe you were thinking of a Gorillaz type thing where it was going to be an almost a hybrid of animation with live music. How did it kind of evolve to what it is now on the live stage?
Well, I mean, it all started. It was a really simple thing from even the very first, before we even wrote the first episode, I thought, okay, here's what I'd like to do with this show. I'd like to write original music every single episode. And I'd like to do, you know, these 20 episodes that we know we're supposed to do. Then I'd like to compile the music and elongate it and make a record. And if I were to make a record, then we should probably do some kind of a tour. So how do you tour an animated band? Okay, well, let's see what the Gorillaz did. Okay, that's cool. Really cool. They are playing animation, but the whole band members are behind a scrim.
Right.
And I thought, okay, that's cool, but I tune out if I don't see the human, really.
Yeah.
I lose interest a little bit. So I thought, okay, let's put the screen behind. And let's put the band in front, but let's put them in shadows. And let's get a cool light show. And let's smoke and mood and all kinds of cool stuff. And so it's been something that's been kind of honed for years. And now we really like where it is. It just seems so much bigger than it is, but it's kind of the same elements.
Yeah.
It's just been plus in a certain way.
That's awesome, man.
So we played a picture. So it's a really crazy thing where we don't just throw down a set list and go, all right, let's play these songs. We have to think of it far in advance.
Right.
We have to animate new stuff.
Totally. For each song.
Yeah, so you have to kind of engineer everything in advance with animation, with music, and all that stuff.
So
put them all together, yeah.
Yeah, you guys got to do probably 5-10 times the amount of work of a normal touring band to be able to pull this off.
Well, we do have to rehearse a lot, and we have to rehearse the picture, so it just really means that we have to be in lockstep with a click track, which a lot of bands do. You know, a lot of bands play to tracks now, but we play to pictures, so we want to make sure all of our downbeats and all our coinciding
with
cuts.
Up, right.
Yeah, so exactly. So we have like blast beats or whatever it is, it's reflected. So almost our editors have to be almost like drum programmers, you know?
Dang, yeah.
So I have to make sure my editor is a musical person.
I remember we did a show where it was a term that I hadn't heard before. It was called a VJ. Basically, the video is like a DJ that's kind of like there with you guys, not on the fly. Well, that instance was, but yours is pre-programmed. Do you guys have that same type of mastermind back there, kind of making sure everything works?
No.
You're just whatever?
No, we're in danger. We're in a dangerous place where we press play, we press space bar, and we hope that it doesn't screw up. And tonight's no different. Seriously.
Man.
If our laptop goes down, the show goes down.
Wow.
It's all down. I mean, we have backups and stuff, but
still,
anything could happen.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of danger.
That's
that attracts
awesome.
These lunatic musicians
That's
to play with
awesome.
Me. Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, I come from music and then stand-up comedy and all that stuff.
You went to the Berklee School of Music,
right? Yeah, I went
to
Berklee, and while I was there, I was studying writing at Emerson College.
Yeah.
And then I started doing stand-up, and that's how I got into TV.
I thought that was so unique how your stand-up actually kind of paved the way to where you are with music in a way, right? Like, you got the gig doing home movies, right?
Yeah.
From stand-up?
I did. So what I thought was, I'm an okay guitar player. I'm no slouch. I put the hours in. But no one's looking for an okay, like good, even a great guitar player.
Okay,
they
sure.
They already got a guitar player.
Right.
And it's hard to have a personality on the instrument, but I know that I have my own personality as a person. And I can sell that, and then I can maybe create a TV show and then hire myself to be the musician. And so Home Movies was the first kind of test of that, that theorem, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, I got to kind of learn how to write a show and run a show through that, and traject like the story and
that's
make
so
it important.
Cool that you're able to do all that and then tie in your own personal music and what you wanted to do all along, maybe.
It was kind of Machiavellian, I'd say. I had that plan. I was hoping that it would work out that way, because I also worked at Jingle Houses before that, where they write music for commercials on TV. And I saw myself in post-production going like, this is cool, I like this, I think this is fine, but I also want to be the director.
Right.
And I want to be the writer.
Well, speaking of director, didn't you do Soundgarden's music video? You did Black Rain, right?
Yeah, Black
Rain.
How
was that?
That was amazing. Because
was that your first time doing a music video kind of thing?
But I mean, Metalocalypse is a big music video, so it all kind of added up. But yeah, but you're right. I think...
working with a band.
With an outside band, so... I got a call from somebody at Adult Swim, and this is maybe 12 years ago or so, and they said, Soundgarden wants you to do a video for them. And
how
I said,
cool is that?
I said, wait, Soundgarden is back together? Because I love Soundgarden. Their last record was like in the 90s, Down on the Upside, and I love that record. And I couldn't believe they had broken up. So I was like, they're back together, and Kim Thayil wants to talk to you on the phone. And I was like, that's really cool.
Wow.
And I love Kim. And since then, we've become very good friends. He just came to our Seattle show.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like royalty in Seattle to see like a Kim Thayil spot.
Of course. That's killer, man.
So it was really cool. I talked to him, and we just got along really well. And, you know, musicians are like-minded. We all have like the same kind of weird, jazzy, screwy brain that are interested in the same kind of things, like the same from movies to... Because we were talking about Godzilla movies and all kinds of stuff. To like what made Soundgarden, to their influences
cool,
and all that
man.
Stuff. So I had like a 4-hour conversation with Kim.
That's awesome.
Right afterward. Yeah, it's the coolest thing in the world.
Wow.
Especially if you love Soundgarden, which I do. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I just think it's so cool how you have all your kind of different irons in the fire, so to speak. That's all branched off from this, you know?
Yeah, the way that I look at it, though, it seems like a lot of different things. But to me, it all started with guitar.
Yep.
And understanding a guitar, and I think if you can understand a guitar, you can understand editing software. You can understand if you can understand Pro Tools, you can understand visual editing. If you understand anything, if you understand one thing, you can understand other things.
What would you give for an advice for a young up and coming guitarist out there that maybe if you were talking to yourself back when you were 15 years old?
I mean, here's what I did. I could say, practice. Obviously, practice with the metronome. Don't be afraid to slow things down and have patience, because that'll get you everywhere. If you're really patient with your instrument, you're gonna get it. You really
Killer.
Are. Record yourself often, and when you're learning these chords, try to write music with it, because that's what people go to these concerts for.
Right.
For the songs.
Right.
They want good songs.
Yep.
People want good songs so badly. Sort out what your favorite songs are and why they're your favorite songs and why those chords got you excited.
That's killer, man.
That's what I think.
All right, Brendan, thank you so much. Absolutely. Guys, make sure you guys grab Death Album 4. Of course, Metalocalypse, Army of the Doomstar, and I cannot wait for this show tonight. Thank you so much for taking the time, Brendan.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. It's a sweaty day.
Truly.
It's a sweaty day out here at Aftershock, guys. Let me tell you, this year and last year, one of the sweatiest days. Sweatiest weekends we've had out at Aftershock. But I gotta tell you, this is a real gem of a group that I'm looking very much forward to checking out here this weekend. Ithaca, all the way from London, UK. Welcome, guys.
Hi. Thank you so much. Hi.
We're excited to talk about your new album. I've been spinning some tracks off of it, and I gotta say, in the mainstream rock world, your stuff really cuts through. And I wanna keep it up and keep doing it, because
in the
radio world we get just stacks and stacks of nonsense, and you guys really stood out for me, and one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you guys. I really appreciate what you're doing, so
that's really cool.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Well, I'm not alone. Kerrang and Metal Hammer,
They
Fear Us Now, the new album we're talking about, both placed it within their top three albums of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Hammer selected it as the best metalcore album of 2022.
Yeah.
I mean, how was that
for you guys? We were pretty baffled by that,
Honestly, so crazy. And We were very confused. obviously, yeah. Really stoked, like really hyped about it.
Yeah.
Also, very confused because
I mean, we've been a band for a long time, and
yeah.
Like,
but there were so many good records released last
year. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
such
tough
a
competition.
Yeah, yeah. And then when they gave that to us, we were just like.
Are you sure?
Yeah, are you sure? Yeah. Do you want to think about
did
that?
You feel you had to feel some validation in it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I, honestly, like, since the record came out, it's been, like, a huge,
how
like,
long
kick.
Was this one of the albums that kind of got sidetracked by the pandemic and lockdown?
Yes.
And
yeah,
did it
we
take
wrote
a while?
It during lockdown, basically.
How was that?
It was really strange. Yeah, we weren't able to write like, you know, like bands usually write.
No,
we like
get together very often at all.
No, we like to be in the same room as each other, obviously. That's really nice.
Sure.
And we couldn't do that. So we basically wrote the entire record kind of over the internet, just sending each other stuff.
And we did a couple of like weekends at the beach. That was quite nice.
yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, like an outdoor setting, you guys kind of got together?
Well, no, yeah. In the UK, there were like... Obviously, the whole COVID situation was an absolute mess.
Right.
And in the UK, there were a couple of times where they lifted the social distancing thing and said, oh, no, actually, it's okay. You can see
now
your friends.
Now you can.
And
which
then,
in retrospect, okay.
Yeah, that was very silly, very stupid. So in those times, we booked a weekend by the beach away to go and write as much.
Connect with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, and just to see each other because we're best friends and not being
of
able
course.
To see each other is horrible.
Yeah, that was pretty gross.
But then obviously then they kept reinforcing the lockdowns and stuff. So I think when we wrote that, like the album, I think we saw each other maybe 3 times.
Wow.
Over that whole period.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's really crazy to think about.
It probably took like at least an extra year to get it out.
Yeah,
so did you feel that you guys did maybe more stuff with the recording process that was maybe outside?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like it gave us a lot of time to just think about some weird ideas and put some extra instrumentation in there and
get creative.
Yeah, quite.
For sure. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I guess when you're in a room together all the time, there is a tendency to be not self-conscious, but, you know, like, because there's no such thing as a stupid idea, but, like, when you're recording stuff at home and you're coming up with ideas at home and
that's
you're on your
point.
Own, you're kind of just throwing stuff out there and, like, you're not in the room when someone's listening
to
it.
Yeah, to hear the feedback or be
exactly,
like,
So it was this thing where it was like, actually... I'm just gonna do whatever crazy ideas that we have, and if people don't like it, it's absolutely fine.
Well, they loved
fine.
It, obviously.
Yeah. So it kind of
just—that's pretty cool. That's a good validation that you guys were being 100% who you were without any kind of whatever outside influence.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being just a killer album.
Well, thank you.
Thanks,
yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about this West Coast run. You just wrapped it up here, this West Coast run here in the United States. Los Angeles, Anaheim, San Francisco. Was this your first West Coast tour, major West Coast tour?
This is our first time in the U.S. full stop.
Yeah.
Like, just full stop.
Yeah. We started over at Louder in Life and then sort of worked our way from New York all the way down through up to California. And
okay, so compared to the two festivals, Louder Than Life and Aftershock.
Oh,
what do you think? Okay, so maybe like crowd reaction, weather, overall atmosphere. What's the good and the bad?
I mean, the weather, Jesus.
The weather was insane at Louder Than Life, and it's insane
and even
here as
more
well.
Insane.
Yeah, Kentucky's pretty bad with the humidity, I imagine.
I think it's hotter today.
was in Kentucky.
Yeah, which is crazy. I was saying earlier that like, because we played some shows in Texas and. This is hotter here. Why is this happening?
I don't know.
Why is that happening?
I don't know.
I'm so confused.
I know. I agree. Yeah, it's crazy, man. This year and last year has been the hottest aftershocks ever.
Yeah.
Normally it's really nice, but, you know, it's just... Okay, I got to ask you guys about traveling on the road. So
yeah.
You said
yeah.
It's your first U.S. tour. Are you guys kind of punk rocking it in a van? Are you doing
we're in a van.
Nice bus? Or what are you guys doing?
Van.
Oh, no.
Van life.
All the gear, all the merch in a van. Yeah.
How's it? How's it? You guys like it?
I mean, we're used to it.
You got to do it in the UK.
This has been, like we were saying earlier, like I've never felt like actually so alive at the end of a 2-week tour.
Yeah,
like,
yeah
usually
it's
by
crazy.
This point,
that's
we're
awesome.
Absolutely.
Have
knackered.
You had time to see any cool things, downtime in California or the States or just in general?
Yeah, we had a couple of days off and we routed our like traveling route so we could stay in Roswell because I'm a huge... alien nerd.
Yeah,
like
so Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, and I lost my mind
How like, was it?
It's like Disneyland to me. I loved it. Like, I loved it. Like,
little green men everywhere.
Little
so
aliens everywhere.
Did you see anything unusual in the skies?
No.
No, unfortunately. No.
It's, well, you know, if you're expecting it, it's not going to happen.
That's right. That's good. Yep,
but we went to the UFO museum.
Really?
Yeah, which was some of the silliest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Like,
I can imagine. What
I
was
love those guys. I would say, like, if you're ever in New Mexico, if you're near Roswell, go to the UFO museum.
Take time.
Yeah. Because it is so funny. Like, it is, they have these exhibits of, like, showing you, like, alien autopsies and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it is hilarious. Like, I love that stuff.
Terrible
waxworks.
Yeah,
really,
that's horrible. Huh?
I don't want to shade them because no. I think it's incredible what they're doing. And like, just go and
I don't
like.
I think it's a bit tongue in cheek, but yeah. I think a lot of people that were there weren't, you know, they're
no.
right. full belief.
It's
yeah.
supposed to be a bit silly.
Oh, that's good, man.
But it was amazing. And like, even the McDonald's and stuff is shaped like alien-y, and there's aliens outside, and it's just very silly.
Okay,
I
you
love
touched
it.
On McDonald's. I asked some of my other interviews with Nothing But Thieves and Kid Capici. They're both from the UK.
Yes. Yeah.
I asked them some of the craziest things they saw on the road to eat.
Oh.
One of them said that he saw here, it was a bacon double cheeseburger, deep fried, and it had peanut butter on it.
Oh
so
my
I
God.
Thought, wow, okay, that can't be beat. Have you guys seen anything, eaten anything that's crazy since you've been over here? That you're
I mean,
like,
honestly,
what the
some of
this?
The snacks that Dom's gotten in the van have been absolutely vile.
Yeah, like not even just stuff in restaurants, but just like, obviously we do a lot of stopping at rest stops.
Right,
and
snacks.
Yeah, snacks, and a lot of like 7-Elevens.
There's like
okay.
blue
like
Takis. Dying. What the hell are they?
Oh, the Takis.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
are really popular.
They're
like
so good.
Spicy chips.
Yeah.
Spicy tortilla chips.
They taste absolutely nuclear. What are they for? Like, oh.
But then, the next day, Dom came down from our hotel room and was his hotel room and was like, I was really, really worried for a second because I went to the bathroom and it was green. It was green.
It was the Takis.
It was the Takis. Yeah, it was the Takis. Yeah. But like, obviously, we don't have those in the UK. Well, we do now, but like, yeah.
That's funny.
Never experienced that before.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Usually, you would go to the hospital if something like that happened.
Yeah, if you had green stool.
And I got some Doritos that were like, I can't remember what flavor they were.
Totally extreme, crazy.
Something. Yeah. And I love stuff like that. And I love spice. I'm Arab, so I'm always like talking smack about how much I can take
right,
spice.
Right, you can handle it.
Yeah, but this like,
not this.
Absolutely, I was deceased. Like, I felt like my tongue was swelling in my mouth.
Oh no. It must have been like ghost pepper or something crazy, huh?
I don't read the labels, that's my problem.
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah,
what
that's
I mean?
You're like, hey,
go watch out.
See the flames, I buy
it. Like, oh, that looks fun.
Oh,
that looks
spicy.
But
awesome.
Yeah, as for like actual food in restaurants, I don't know. I feel like we've played it safe a little bit because when you're touring in a van, the last thing you want is to like, I don't know, have a
gastric condition.
Don't want to be taking chances.
I didn't want to swear. Yeah like a gastric situation.
All right. Speaking of the road, when are you guys coming back to the U.S. and what do you got planned for 2024?
Ooh, I mean, we'd love to come back as soon as possible, basically.
Yeah.
We got these visas
maybe.
For a year. Like,
yeah.
So we'll see.
We're allowed to come back for the next year.
Oh, yes, please.
So we would love to really, like, take advantage of that and spend as much time here as possible, basically.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so
we've had a great time.
Hopefully early next year, like, get Christmas and all of that stuff out the way.
Yeah.
And then plan to come back and hit as many festivals as possible, do some more shows.
Don't you guys have a show? I think it's your last one of the year, November 25th. You're going to be playing your new album, Fearless, in its entirety.
Yes.
Have you done that before?
No.
No.
Are you nervous?
Well, I need to learn the songs.
Oh my God, don't say that.
Sure. Like,
yeah. Yeah, so it's crazy. We're going to be playing the album in full for the first time.
Yeah.
Probably for the last time as well.
Yeah?
But with all the extra instrumentation and like extra
vocals. It's a lot of work to get all that extra stuff, right? Like
yeah,
that you do in the studio, the nuances, and recreate it live.
So some of those songs are essentially impossible to play live.
Right.
Because we had friends, guest musicians.
Yeah, lending.
A lot of stuff like that, like extra vocals, keys, synths.
Are you
going to
have guest appearances
strings.
For this performance?
They'll all be there. So it's going to be like.
That's pretty legendary.
There'll be a lot of musicians on that stage, yeah.
You got to film this.
We will
I
be.
I think
yeah.
that's it. Yeah, we're going to
try.
That's the plan.
Okay, awesome.
So,
well, you guys
yeah.
heard it here first. That's awesome. Make sure you guys check out theyfearus.com. All the info, tour dates. Grab that new album. It's killer.
Ithaca, thank you guys so much for being here and joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
It is Sunday. It is the final day of Aftershock. And man, we're going out with a bang with some of these artists today. And one of my favorites here, going to be at 305 on the Shockwave stage today. Daughtry, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Daughtry here with us. How are you, sir?
I'm awesome, man. Buzzing from excitement.
Yeah? Well, what do you got in store for us?
We've got a good power set of 40 minutes, and we're gonna try not to pass out on stage.
It's hot out there, right?
It is really hot. Yeah.
So, let's talk about the new album. In 2021, you just got the new album out, Dearly Beloved. Marked a return to your guys' kind of roots, rock. What inspired
that? We're already working on another album now.
Okay.
So we've wrapped up that one and moved on to. We got the first single out for the next record.
When's that one coming out?
We're still working on it. 2024 for sure.
But you said you got about 10 of them worked out?
Yeah, we've got about 5 or 6 tunes in the can, and we still got a long way to go.
Are we going to hear any of those new ones this weekend here?
Well, you'll hear Artificial, the new single.
Yeah, the lead single. We've been playing the heck out of that.
But we don't have anything else ready to play yet, but...
It's on the way.
We're excited about what's coming.
Man, Artificial's killer, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That song for me, like, there's a lot of stuff out here right now in the rock radio world, and that's one of the ones that just got this really, I don't know, anthemic way of cutting through.
Thank you, man.
It really sticks out. I think it's some of your best work, man.
Thank you. I personally think it's my favorite thing we've ever done. I'm so glad that people are feeling that way about it, because you know, you never know when you shift gears like that and kind of lean in to where your heart's guiding you. You hope that everyone else jumps on board, but the response has been incredible.
Were you guys hindered at all in the recording process with the pandemic stuff? Did you guys have to do stuff remotely, or were you able to knock this out the old-fashioned way in the studio?
Dearly Beloved was done mostly remotely. And that was, you know, it had its challenges, but
sure.
But we were able to all be in the studio cutting Artificial, so we're hoping to, the good old-fashioned way.
Yeah, right on, man. Well, okay, so you've played a lot of festivals this year. What's your Aftershock compared to some of the other festivals so far? I know you haven't hit the stage, you haven't got the crowd ready yet, but so far, what are you liking about Aftershock compared to the other ones?
Man, you can just feel the energy that in the excitement of everyone here today. So, come on, Guns N' Roses tonight. I'm excited.
Are you going to be sticking around for that?
Absolutely. You don't miss that.
That's awesome, man.
But I really wish I was here the other night to see Tool.
Yeah.
I've never gotten to see them live, and that's one of my favorite bands. So, and Sleep Token, I miss them too. But
yeah, I gotta say, they had that side stage the most packed I've seen it all weekend.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
it was
rightfully
killer.
So, man. That's probably one of the most creative bands I've witnessed in the last decade.
What are you guys listening to on the road? Is there something in your playlist that's really catching your ear lately? Any new artists or anything like that along those lines?
Obviously, Sleep Token. We love that record a lot. I love Nothing More.
The new
In This Moment.
Yes.
Been rocking that. So, we're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I love that, man. Well, you guys are going to put on an awesome show, I'm sure. We can't wait. You're a busy man. Chris Daughtry, thank you so much
for
your time, sir.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much.
Right on, dude. Absolutely. We are here on Sunday, guys. It has been a long 4 days, but man, I feel like Sunday has been, so far, a very impressive start compared to a lot of the other days, and I'm here with one of my favorite starts of the day today, Asava from Canton, Ohio. What's up, guys?
Well, we were the only star today.
Oh, that's right. Pretty much, but you guys killed it.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, Canton, Ohio, I gotta make a little quick note here.
Yeah.
When I was 10, my mom was born and raised there.
Really?
So that's her home city. When I was 10, I made a trip there, and we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, cool.
And it was a big deal. I'm sure that's, you guys hear about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame all the time growing up there.
I used to paint there. So
no kidding.
Paint the insides for all the hallways and all the display areas. I used to have a job there.
He did it too. He did it with
Rock and Roll. He's talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, there's two Hall of Fames there, right?
Football, rock and roll is in Cleveland. So I'm like, we're talking about Canton. Football, talking about the
football Hall of Fame.
Anyways, whatever. Anyway. Moving on.
You guys are playing huge, huge dates, huge festivals this year. You played Incarceration, Louder Than Life.
Yep.
Incarceration was kind of a hometown one for you guys,
yeah,
right?
That was sick because we played our song called Take Me With You, and like the whole crowd was singing it.
They knew it.
Because it was like hometown kind of show. So it was this first time I got to like step away from the mic and like just let them sing.
Let them do it. Pretty surreal.
Yeah,
huh?
it was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Had some high school friends there as well.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Played on the first day. Zach Wild played with Pantera there, right?
Oh yeah, like, you guys yeah, got lucky. Yeah. You guys
we
got
played
to see
on that
some
day,
that.
So it was cool to just be part of that.
I know, right? Yeah, well, so. How long?
And he jammed on Planet Caravan for like 7 minutes, just doing a solo. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. But,
so, did you guys on these festivals? Have you just been taking them in? You know, some of these lineups and enjoying them yourselves, or are you on a super strict schedule and don't really have time?
Kinda. Louder was about the only one we got to actually just like because we played the first day. So we were able to kind of like walk around and
and
see some shit, some stuff, sorry.
No, you can cuss, it's all good.
Okay, cool. We got to see some cool bands.
Your mom's
honestly,
gonna be angry.
Who was your guys' favorite?
I
kind of liked
Slaughter to Prevail. We're talking about Ink, right?
No, I was talking about Louder.
Oh,
he's just like Slaughter.
Slaughter to Prevail.
My favorite
in general. Honestly, Louder, I really like Sleep Token. I wasn't even really even a fan.
Right.
Before I watched them, I was like, holy shit, that was great.
They had one of the biggest groups here yesterday for the side stage, Sleep Token.
I bet. It's good for them. You know, they're really getting somewhere now.
How's the crowd reaction been for you guys at these festivals? Have you been impressed? Or has it just been
underwhelming?
Overwhelmingly
positive,
yeah.
It's been amazing.
For being out here, like, this is the other side of the country.
Right.
I think we had a great response. Like, just, I don't expect anybody to know us out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, people were there. People were digging it and like cheering.
Well, I know we're playing your stuff locally, radio wise, on 105.7 The Bear.
Hey.
I know they're playing in the SAC stations here. You guys are awesome. You cut
Thank
through
you.
The mix. There's a lot of generic mainstream rock out there, and you guys are doing something a little different.
That is all thanks to this guy right here, Jacob Shar,
Who's that?
Producer engineer.
Okay.
He's the guy that found us and made us sound good.
He made you sound good.
Oh, yes. Say it up, Jake.
It's a both and. You know, like.
He's so humble.
It was already there. They had the composition. They just needed to have something that stood out commercially. So when you're on a playlist and you hear it, you're not reaching over to turn the volume up or down.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Well, he said, how did you guys like all come together here? How did this happen?
How it really happened is I was playing a show with my little band that I just do as like a side. I toured for many years, and then I was just like, I just want to have my own little metal project. And they came to a show, and he was wearing a 10,000 Days hoodie from Tool.
Oh, nice.
And so they were just out in the crowd, and I was just like, that's a sick hoodie. And then Greg, who I knew from like bass forums and talking bass tone, he was just like, dude, you guys were awesome. And I just ended up talking about them the whole time. I was like, you guys just need good mixing. You need good production, and you guys would stand out. And so I sent them to my mix engineer, and my mix engineer was like, you guys need better production. Come back again. And so then we worked together. And funny enough, 25, one of the best parts about it is that was all done in his dad's basement.
No kidding.
With like a rooster in the background that had to gate out on the vocals.
Yeah.
So like, it's as like raw and authentic as it gets of like truly fighting their way up and working really hard. And for them, their humility, they'd worked on that song for like a year and a half, and to have somebody else come in and be like, let's redo this. And they took all the critique very, very well.
Right on.
You know, they were just awesome dudes.
Like, that's awesome, man. So
it's all thanks to Jake.
What's in store for 2024 for you guys? I know you're wrapping everything up now for this year.
Next
so.
Question. No.
Upbreak?
No, I mean, this was definitely our last show of the year. We got one more release coming out like next month.
Right.
But from there, we're definitely taking a break from shows. We had a tour earlier this year and then three festivals, so we're definitely reaching the point of like
burnout.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, at least with shows and stuff. So I think we're gonna just try and chill and plan for next year and work on maybe recording stuff for next year.
Do
and
you
then
guys write while you're on the road, or is that strictly something you do?
We tried
studio?
It, didn't fucking work.
You gave it a shot?
Yeah.
Did you guys have some kind of thing set up where you could like record a little bit or have riffs or something in the back of the van or something like that?
We had the equipment. It was just like tour kicks your ass.
Yeah.
We didn't have any open time, really, honestly.
You're right.
Like, we're going to do all these songs in a month. So pretty much what it is like, Liam's like, hey, I got all these songs. And this month, can we do all of them? We're like, all right, we'll make it work. So.
Right on.
It works out because like I usually don't get the itch to write until like the fall anyway.
Right,
so
okay.
Like I don't know what it is. It's kind of always been like that. We always kind of come
just
up with
the way
our,
the year goes.
Yeah, it actually works in terms of like
growing into the next year because we write in the fall, record it in the winter, and then it's out in next year. So like it actually works. So.
Right on.
Thanks to the universe.
Well, we're really looking forward to it. Make sure you guys check out asavaband.com for the merch, the tour dates, all that music that's going to be coming out around the horizon. Woo. Thank you guys so much for taking the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We are out here on Sunday. We're melting. We are melting, but we're here and we're rocking. And one of the awesome shows that I got a chance to see today, Aaron Jones, and I have the man, the myth, the legend here, himself. How you doing, sir?
Oh, you know, I'm living the American dream or the beautiful nightmare. I'm not sure what day it is, but we'll figure it out.
I hear that. Guys, head over to aaronjonesmusic.com to get all the latest music, merch, and tour updates. But I want to talk about the beginnings.
Yeah.
I heard you grew up in Seattle during the 90s.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So that must have been pretty cool. Tell us about that time for you and how maybe that influenced your musical career, your musical path. What was that like?
Well, probably everything. I mean, you know, you don't know about it till you get outside of it, right? I mean,
yeah.
You can't see how fast the car is going until you put your hand out the window. You know.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You realize what's happening. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. For me, I think I come to find out eventually that sound where I grew up had influenced pretty much everything. And I also was directly handed down that sound from the artists that helped curate the sound, you know. So those cats worked with me and helped me figure out what it meant to sound like I was from Seattle too, you know. So all that stuff played a role. The gospel background, the R&B background, born and raised in Jimi Hendrix's neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the Hendrixes actually are who put me on, you know. And so,
really?
Yeah, man. So I'm where I'm at today because of Jimi Hendrix in Seattle, man. They put me on.
That's beautiful, man. I heard you were discovered at a dive bar early in your career by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah,
is that
man.
True?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he came.
Well, tell us about that.
Oh, he walked into a dive bar when we were playing and loved what we were doing. Decided he was going to produce my next record, you know.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Just that, like that.
My first record, really, yeah. So he came and produced my first record, yeah.
That's pretty impressive, yeah, yeah. Man. Well, let's go back to 2021. The
sure.
World looked like it was burning down, all the crazy stuff that was going on. But you had the biggest song of your career at that point,
yeah,
Mercy,
yeah. Yeah.
From your debut album, Child of the State, hitting number one
yeah.
During that time,
yeah, yeah.
Making one of the few solo black artists to achieve that feat. How does that feel, man?
Man, you know, I wish I had time to process it. I don't really know. It feels good, though. You know, I can't say, you know, definitely when I first heard the news, emotional moment for me, and it went away right away because it was like, you got work to do, you know.
Yeah.
We got so much more
eye
to keep going, though. It's like, you know, that was the beginning of the record too, you know. So we were just moving right along, you know. That was it.
So about that album, were you hindered by the COVID lockdowns and all that stuff? Did you have to record remotely? Did you guys go in the studio?
No,
how did that work?
I went in the studio, man. I went in the studio and I absorbed the risk. You know, I knew
yeah.
that like if it was gonna be a time for me to do it, it was gonna be the time where everybody else was scared to get sick, you know. And I definitely had that fear. I got sick at some points,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
But I knew that, like, in order for me to be where I wanted to be and to make the impact I was going to make when the pandemic lifted, I had to go into that and take that risk, man. You know, risk my life for everything.
Right on. Yeah. That's awesome, man. So, okay, let's talk about this festival. You've been playing a lot of shows lately. How is Aftershock compared to a lot of the other festivals you played so far?
They're all different, man, but Aftershock's always great, you know, and it's always great to be playing on the West Coast, too. I know it's rare for me to play a show here on the West Coast, you
yeah.
know, so it was really great.
We don't get a chance to see you too often, man.
Yeah, man.
How was that crowd response?
Oh, it was great. It was great. They were all huddled under the shade in the side. So
like cattle, right?
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
All right, we've been playing the heck out of Blood in the Water. I just want to say tip of the hat to you. That's a fantastic track.
Thank you, man. Thank
you. It really cuts through. We get a lot of generic mainstream stuff on the radio and rock radio, and you're doing something really different.
Thank you.
It has a level of soulfulness. It has a level of creativity and authenticness that I think really cuts through, man.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
I just wanted to say that. And I heard, I don't know if this is true, you played Ultimate Frisbee in the World Championships.
Two World Championships.
So how did that come about? When did this start?
I started playing Ultimate when I was just a kid, man. I was probably 13 years old, and I got really good at it. You know, by the time I was 17, tried out for the World Championships and made the U.S. team. Won a gold in 2004.
Wow.
Came home, started playing for a team out of Seattle. We won the Nationals in 07, which qualified us for the Worlds in 08.
Wow.
We finished with a bronze medal that year.
Wow,
but
that's
yeah,
awesome.
Been two World Championships, yeah.
So what was it at that point? You just focused more on music or what?
After that, yeah. I mean, I just got burnt out from playing Frisbee. I lost the passion for it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun while it lasted, but, like, there's only so much you can achieve in the community.
Getting a gold medal, though, that's an awesome achievement, man.
It was pretty awesome, but they hand those things out. Let's be real, I'm just kidding, man.
All right, guys, head over to aaronjonesmusic.com.
check out all the latest music, merch, tour updates. Thank you so much for taking
this
time today,
so much,
man. I really
appreciate
it. Bro.
Thank you, man. Take care of yourself.
Right on. We're here on Sunday, one of the hottest darn aftershocks I've been a part of. And I know Mark is feeling that heat. I got Mark here from Red Light King. How are you doing, Mark?
Yeah, I'm great. Good to be here.
Killer thank set you. Today,
yeah. Oh,
by the
thanks.
Way.
Appreciate
wanna
it.
Say thank you for kicking off Sunday with such a badass set.
I would have played Old Main had I known it was on high rotation.
Well, or see.
Not, I mean, not high, you know,
well,
classic rotation.
It's in recurrence.
Recurrence.
And that's what I was talking with Mark just a minute
ago. I think
I'm
in recurrence right
you
now.
You guys missed it. We were talking about just like
yeah.
badass tracks, and Old Main is one of those ones that honestly, it came out of left field.
Yeah.
When we got it serviced to us, when I get cover songs, I'm like, okay, we'll see how it goes, right? But this one was different. I remember distinctly when I was an associate program director at the time, and my PD, he brought me into the studio to listen to it, and he's like, tell me what you think of this. And he didn't give me any heads up, no context or nothing, and he just pressed play, and we sat there, and I listened to it the whole thing, all the way through. And I'm like, that's one of the best damn covers I've heard of a track in my life. And I gotta say, man, you nailed it. You
thanks,
really
man.
Did.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
How did that come about? What's the I know you
I mean,
probably
I,
get asked that
I,
a million times,
yeah.
but what's the history behind
I,
it?
I don't think it's a million yet, but it's it's probably 100,000.
No, I'll answer it every time because I'm proud of it, and I also think it's crazy.
How
like on the outside,
it's got a life
outside,
of its own.
Outside looking in, I think it's crazy that. It, I'm so stoked it resonates with people. I wrote it about my dad, you know?
Yeah.
And he's been gone for 10 years now.
Yep.
But I wrote it before he passed, so he heard it. And I was most proud of that. The second thing I was proud of was Neil liked it. And he's never allowed a sample before in his
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
So it how it came to fruition was I had written a song without the sample in it. It was called Hard Working Hands, and it was pretty much, and I think about still releasing it, because it's still
oh,
badass.
You should.
It's
you
a different chord. I'm singing in the chorus, more of a hook.
Do it.
It's similar chord structure.
Yeah.
It's similar groove, but it's slightly different. And then I heard Old Main on the way home from the studio when
yep.
I was cutting the song.
Oh,
and I
wow.
thought, oh. Just for fun, I'm going to put his voice in it, or maybe I can get a hold of Neil
yeah.
through my label to like do a duet kind of thing or have him feature on
sure.
it. Sure. Because that's cut. That would be amazing. And then, I just started picking out the sounds and sort of copying the sounds of the original record.
Yeah.
And replaying them so it sounds like a sample.
Yeah.
And then for the part where he sings Old Main, I just EQ'd the snot out of it and sent it through some like compressors and stuff
uh-huh.
and pulled his vocal out and matched it in. So it's him, it's actually it's his voice, Neil.
But it
voice.
Sounds really cool the way you did it.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
So then
man.
The, and then as far as the approval process goes, Neil's Young label heard it, said no. Neil's Young
really?
A&R said no. Neil Young's label and the people on the master said no. And then so I said, well, has Neil said no? His manager said no. I said, has Neil said no? And he hadn't. So I said, well, let's get it to Neil. I think he'll like
that's
it.
That's awesome, man. Way to be persistent.
And so Neil heard it. And he said, I think Neil really liked it. The word is he really liked it. He thought it was a
that's
hit.
That's killer, so, man. Yeah. What a cool story. All right, let's talk about the new stuff you got
please.
Going on, though. On May 5th, 2022, we've been playing In Our Blood. That is another one that is in recurrence right now. And I gotta say, man, when this one came out, I'm like, Red Light King is back. I'm sure you've released some stuff, obviously, since then.
I felt so. I
but
felt,
this
yeah.
was like a banger, dude. It came out of yeah. nowhere for us in the rock world, like, and it has a really fresh, like, I don't know how to describe the production behind it, but it sounds like very anthemic and fresh.
Oh, thanks.
It's really good, and
yeah.
it cuts through, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I produced a record. That song was originally a demo that Jules had written
okay.
for a different project of his, and he really wasn't using it. And I said, "Hey, can I take it and chop it up and rework it?" He's like, "Hell yeah!" So he and I got in the studio and did that, and I just thought In Our Blood was a good title for the album. It was kind of the flag. It was really the first song we wanted something a little more Americana, but that hits a little harder than Americana.
Right.
Because I'm such a big fan of that music, and then I realized, you know, it takes a few albums to find your sound.
Yeah.
And I really think that by producing the record myself, by having had so much experience in the studio and also playing live, I thought this is the most authentic way to capture what it is I do.
Were you hindered by the pandemic stuff, lockdowns and all that during the
recording?
I was
hindered financially.
Oh, yeah.
I was pretty crushed.
Yeah,
I sold,
bad, huh?
I sold my old Panhead, and I sold, which is a Harley for all those non-Harley people, a 1950 Harley. And,
oh, man.
And then sold a couple guitars, and I just struggled. And then my friends who had big studios, they started timesharing their studios.
Oh,
and,
wow.
In Hollywood, everybody started closing up shop, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. I mean, you remember, for people were doing like, well, stay at home.
Yep.
Tip us in the inbox.
Yeah, do a live concert from your living room.
Yeah, because I'm a full timer, so I actually had to get some part time work, and still do. Here's Julian. Is this Mike?
Hey, yeah,
is this
hop on.
Is this Mike work?
It's live.
We were just talking about what's up. In Our Blood and how you had written that for another project of yours, yep. And how we reworked it, and then we named it after the album because it was kind of flagship sound.
And then the recording process, like if you guys were
straight up.
Yeah, hindered. Did you guys just do the classic in the studio kind of old school way of doing it? Or were you hindered by that whole lockdown stuff? Did you have to do stuff remotely? Like you record your part and kind of mix it later?
I mean, he's got a great studio in his house. So really a lot of it was recorded just right in.
Awesome.
But then of course we used a studio for drums because we wanted that live drum sound.
Yep.
We wanted everything to be as live as possible. But yeah, I mean, we did it as DIY as you could do it.
It comes across really well. I feel like, especially the lead single, it just sounds like you guys are in there rocking the F out and just,
it's
killer.
Staying there. They're spinning In Our Blood a lot. And also,
that's awesome, man. Thank you.
It's in a recurrent rotation right now. I just feel like it's been out for over a year, but I feel like it has a lasting.
It's been out for over a year?
Isn't that crazy? Oh, May 5th, 2022 is what I have when you released it. Isn't that crazy?
The record came out in March. But the single probably did come out.
Yeah, we've been playing it for a while, and it's marinated now, and I feel like it's one of those ones when it comes on the air. I'm just cranking it up, and it's a great track. So just
thank
kudos,
you for that.
Man.
Yeah,
it's
thanks killer.
For that, man. It's really coming through. All right, so the festival. We're here at Aftershock. I heard this is your guys' first time playing Aftershock. Is that true?
It is true, yes.
So what's your impressions of it? So how was the crowd for you guys? What's been the experience?
You know, it's actually surprising looking out at the crowd and seeing how many people were actually singing along to songs. And that, to me, is – and not just – bullet in my hand, but like songs that we've never played live or we haven't played before, you know. So it was really fun. It was hot. We were right, sun was right overhead.
He was saying you guys have a lot of old school kind of equipment, old guitars and things like that just don't do well in the heat, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're screaming, why?
Why are you doing this to me?
This was hot. His guitar, like, our guitars were hot.
Yeah, you got off stage and you handed someone, they're like, oh.
But you know, it's everyone here. Like, I Prevail's on right now, and I was just out there watching those guys, and they're right in the sun. The sun's right here.
Daughtry was just on, and his sound cut off.
Oh, probably because of the heat.
After the second song.
I saw that. Poor
guy. And it was something to do with the heat generators overheating, this and that. So, man, it's brutal up there.
Makes sense.
All right,
so
any plans for 2024? I know you guys are busy right now wrapping up 2023. Anything you can let our listeners in on? Plans for 2024, touring, music, otherwise?
So we're talking about new stuff?
Yes, new stuff.
Yeah, so for the rest of the year, we're putting out different versions, I guess reimagined versions of In Our Blood.
Oh, okay.
So we did an In Our Blood acoustic version.
Right,
single.
Okay.
Then we did Eye of a Hurricane. That comes out probably next month.
Nice.
And I love it more than, I love these versions. So we're doing new version of every song on the record, which I think is really interesting.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like remixing yourself.
Yeah, right on. So what inspired that? Were you guys just like, I love the way this sounds when I play it on my acoustic kind of thing?
A little bit.
Yeah, it was an experiment. Like, honestly, we're like, what would happen if we took this, like, kind of heavy rock song and just
stripped
did it? And then a lot of times, we look at each other, we're like, I think this might be better.
Well, there's no rules, right? Like, we nobody's over our shoulder. I'm like, I'm putting a church bell in this. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
You are.
That's awesome, man, to have that creativity of self-producing your stuff and just doing what you want to do, right?
I mean, that's at this point in my life and career, that's I wouldn't accept anything else.
Hell yeah.
I think honestly, I'm not sure. Musically, I've never really had to compromise in the years that I've made records, five record deals, 20 years in the game. I think you end up compromising somewhere else.
Ah.
Like in the touring, in the logistics.
Sure, but not when it comes to the creativity part.
Yeah, I think sometimes I didn't want to put Old Man out first. I want to put Bullet out first because I didn't want to be the sample guy.
Bullet in my head.
I mean,
is a great
I'm thinking
track,
10
man.
Years ago. There's things like that in my career where I've played the game and tried to work with teams of people, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
I think bands should be allowed to pick their single because they really know and feel what's good about their audience. Although, I've seen it happen the other way where someone picks a song and I was like, no way.
And then it turns out,
honestly, yeah.
For
that's
us
happened
and
a
for
few
our
times.
Friends, like for AWOL Nation, Sail became a big hit. Now it was not even a B-side.
Really?
And
isn't that crazy?
So things happen, but as far as creatively, we're pretty straight up. So it's either you like us or you don't.
I love that though. You get what you get what you put out there as real honest musicians. And if it comes across and it's something for you, then awesome. And it's something for us, man. And for our listeners on the Bear, we love your shit. So keep it up.
Thank you.
And send us more music ASAP.
We have lots of riffs.
Tons of music coming out. We're working on the second, sixth record?
Seventh, eighth.
I don't know. We're working on
we don't even know anymore.
I got a bunch of songs on the shelf. I call them car parts, you know.
Oh, and then you build. I love that.
Well,
guys, thank you so much. Mark, Julian from Red Light King. Thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you, man.
We're here, it's Sunday, and I'm here with a group that is probably, so far, my favorite act that I saw today on Sunday.
Woo!
So far. And I think they're going to stay up there, though. I was very pleased to see these guys for the first time. That kind of blew me away, and I think you guys are going to dig them, too. I'm talking about Gnome, all the way from Antwerp, Belgium. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Hello there, hello. We feel very privileged to be able to tour the States and especially to do these big festivals.
Yeah, so how has it been? I mean, how was the crowd reaction for you guys
today? Oh wow, it was amazing. We saw a lot of pointy hats in the crowd.
Yeah.
People were having a blast. We were having a blast, it was great.
Well, and if my listeners are like, pointy hats, what are you talking about? You gotta go see some of Gnome's music videos. You'll see all about it. They have some videos that have kind of gone viral, and they're just a joy to watch. Very creative and funny, and you guys have a great sense of humor and musical chops to back it up.
Oh, thank you, man.
I really enjoy your kind of style of just badass riffage. You guys is just riffs after riffs.
That's what we do.
Yeah, it's killer, though. I mean, I love it. I love what you guys are doing. If you guys want, check them out on their Facebook, facebook.com/officialgnomeband. I noticed you guys have some pretty cool limited edition vinyl on your Bandcamp page.
Oh, yeah.
So look up Gnome on their Bandcamp page if you guys want to grab some of that.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of that, their latest album, King, came out May 6, 2022. It says it was recorded during the lockdowns in 2020. How was that for you guys in the recording process? Did you have to record remotely? Did you go in the studio? Were you back and forth?
At the beginning of the lockdown, we were actually planning on doing a tiny tour in Germany. but the tour got canceled because of COVID.
Ah.
But we used the time to write and record the entire King album. It went great. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was one of those brief periods in between lockdowns when we were allowed to go out.
Oh, okay, so like, they lifted a little bit.
Yeah, like there was like 2 weeks or a month where you were allowed to go out, but still we all had to wear masks in the studio.
Right.
We had to get permits to go out of the house, like to go to work, you know, to not work remotely.
But you guys actually went to the studio.
Yeah, we did go to a studio, because you can't really beat it, like just being three of us in a room.
I agree.
For the kind of interplay that we do.
Yeah.
We recorded everything live. Yeah. Like, the three of us, the basic tracks, the three of us in a room.
It was just
mic'd up and...
Just the three of us, one audio engineer and the owner of the studio. We wore masks when we had to.
It was typical way of recording? Do you guys like to do it live like that, or are you more meticulous?
No, we kind of have to do it live because like our tempos, they're not all very metronomical, so to say. Like we like to drag a little something, so we have to play together.
Yeah.
It's really hard if we do it one by one to get really synced into each other's performance. Like we got to be looking at each other and, you know, feel it out.
Yeah.
That's how we got to do it.
Right on. That's awesome. Well, it really comes through with the music, because the stuff that I hear, it sounds like exactly what I saw today live. So I love that when a band, it's like they're recording it live, they're rehearsing it live. When we see them live, there's no tricks, no BS. This is what I've been listening to. This is what I wanted to see. And it's right here live. And
we're kind of old school like that.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not,
like that.
Not purists, but I kind of like it. You just see a band just doing what they do.
So I've been noticing on your tour, you've been playing smaller size venues as well as these big festival venues. I mean, that's a huge difference, maybe in terms of the way you guys look at the set list, the crowd reaction, your stage show. How's that been playing the smaller venues compared to the major festivals?
Oh, yeah. So we started out at Louder Than Life, and we end up here at Aftershock, which are both our shortest sets. We can only play 30 minutes, so we just... We trim it down to only the best songs.
All killer, no filler.
The big heavy ones. But the venues, we usually played for over an hour. So we got to play almost King in its entirety and our Father of Time record.
Cool.
Also like half of it.
And a couple of new songs as well.
And then we
then
we try to weave in a fun dynamic, you know, start with a heavy song, then take something slow, then take something instrumental. And just make it a fun trip for everyone.
Yeah, right on. So, now that you're here at Aftershock, what's been your favorite part of California? Have you guys had any downtime do anything?
We saw the Redwoods yesterday.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Insane. I was blown away. I'm very deep into trees and nature and animals, and I was on a different planet.
Did you get to see the giant sequoia?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did.
That's like the biggest tree in the world.
Yeah, it's unfathomable how large and how ancient these forests feel. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely grabbed the opportunity to do a little sightseeing, you know?
Yeah.
Like we drove all through the Rocky Mountains and through Utah and all. And
are you guys...
I mean, we drove about, 7,500 kilometers. I'm not sure how much that is in miles.
Oh, yeah.
About 6,000?
Yeah. It was a lot.
No, less.
We did see 4, arches in Moab, Utah, which was also mind-blowing, but... We only saw those two parks. We didn't have much time
tourist
around. Lots of driving.
What about, so I've been asking a lot of, I was talking with some other bands from the UK that tour here in the States. Craziest thing you've eaten on the road. So one of the guys, I've yet to have this topped. It was a bacon double cheeseburger with peanut butter that was deep fried.
Whoa.
And I said, wow, that's crazy. I've never heard of that. I live here.
I want to say gator sandwich, because I was looking for that.
A gator sandwich?
Yeah. And we were at a sandwich house which had gator sandwich, but it was off the menu temporarily.
Gator sandwich. It wasn't in season.
No,
all the gators were not available.
I was also looking for I was looking for a souvenir.
Souvenir.
And I thought, what's more American than gator boots? And we found gator boots, but they turned out to be $600.
So
I skipped on those.
Expensive.
But I did get the cheaper alternative.
Hey!
A permanent gator.
Gator tattoo. I love that. That's a nice tattoo. Oh,
yeah, we all got tattooed together in Kansas City.
Oh, in Kansas City?
Let's do it.
Why
not? Part of the adventure.
Right on. All right, well, you guys are finishing up this tour. It looks like Aftershock is the last one in 2023.
Yeah.
Anything planned for 2024 you can let us in on?
Not a lot for 2024. We have a couple more shows this year coming up. We're opening for Elder back in Belgium where we live.
Sweet.
And we have a couple shows in the UK, France, and Germany, a couple little festivals.
Right.
And then, we have a few things in the pipeline for 2024, but nothing ready to be announced yet. Okay. There'll be a couple summer festivals in Europe mostly.
Okay.
And there'll be a couple UK dates, and the rest we'll see what shows up.
Ooh. Nothing American just yet, but we really want to come back, and we have to do the East Coast at least.
Yeah.
But we would love to just do every state.
That's awesome. Well, we got a real treat here with you guys this weekend, so thank you for coming out. Thank you for your time. Gnome, Antwerp, Belgium.
Thank you very much.
Make sure you guys check them out. Facebook.com, official Gnome Band, and their Bandcamp page, gnome.bandcamp.com. Make sure you guys check them out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man. Those were all of our Aftershock 2023 interviews. Make sure you're checking out our YouTube channel, as I will try to upload all of those individually, youtube.com/@rocknewsweekly. Make sure you guys check us out. And thank you for tuning in. Check us out, of course, rocknewsweekly.com for everything. Peace.